Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, everyone. This is Patrick Conley with you again here on September 21st. It is the feast day of St. Matthew today. Of course, one of the evangelists, St. Matthew, also known as Levi, the tax collector who was called from his tax collecting booth to follow the Lord. And just remember that as a tax collector, he would have been on the outs with the majority of Jewish society. So can you imagine what some of the other disciples, the followers of Jesus, were thinking when Jesus called Matthew out of the tax collector booth? Think of what they were thinking. This guy? You got to be kidding, Lord. This guy? This is the guy you want as one of your followers. This is the type of person you're recruiting. Maybe they were already thinking, you know, I'm not sure I want to be in with this type of crowd. And maybe that's a little lesson in application for our lives as well. Do we walk into church and think, this person is here? I'm not sure. Well, of course, you know, as the Lord continues to encourage us, as the Lord continues to give us encouragement to reach out to those who are in need, you know, as he said, he has come so that people may have life and have it to the full. He has come not for those who are well, but for those who are sick. For those who are sick are the ones in need of healing. St. Matthew, the evangelist, something unique about his gospel is he presents Jesus as the teacher. He has five blocks of teaching in St. Matthew's gospel, beginning with the Sermon on the Mount. So five rather large blocks of teaching. Of course, the other gospels have the teachings of Jesus, and they have times when Jesus is teaching. That's one of the things that he came to do, of course. And it's St. Matthew is particularly known, though, for having these five blocks of teaching. So there are large amounts of Jesus' teaching all at once. Sermon on the Mount covers Matthew 5 through 7, chapters 5 through 7, covers a whole range of topics and that sort of thing. Of course, these five blocks of teachings are meant to match up with the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And as we see that, he goes to great pains to show that Jesus is, in some senses, the new Moses, the new leader of his people Israel. And so we see that happening in Matthew's gospel. Fascinating gospel to read. Some of the ancient fathers actually saw St. Matthew's gospel as the first gospel written. Scholars debate that, of course, even to the day. Most scholars, I think, lean on Mark as the first gospel written, as it seems like Matthew borrowed from Mark. But nonetheless, gospel written by one of the followers of Jesus, excellent gospel, presenting Jesus as the new Moses and understanding Jesus as the teacher, which is very appropriate considering the show that we are looking down on today as we are getting going here. We're going to have Gene Houghton and Karen Rauenhorst in studio to talk a little bit more about what Aim Higher is. Have you heard of Aim Higher? Well, if you have, you're going to learn more. If you haven't, you're in for a treat to learn what Aim Higher is all about in terms of the children who are involved in Catholic education and some of the benefits that they can receive through the Aim Higher Foundation. Also joining us, because, of course, education is not just an American thing, we have Father Paul Peter Rom-Abim, who is going to be talking to us about the Archbishop Flynn Secondary School in northern Uganda, finding out what's going on in kids' lives in northern Uganda. Wow. So those two things are coming up as we think about education as we're here at the beginning of the school year. At the beginning, actually, it is. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about it being the season of fall seemed right on our doorstep. Well, now it is. This is the weekend where it actually becomes astronomical fall, I believe Paul called it last a couple weeks ago. Right. All right. I'm getting a heads up or a thumbs up from him. All right, and also Gretchen Birkebeil will be joining us to talk about her unique wedding in the church. So all of that is coming up here on the Rediscover Hour this week. So it's good that you've joined us. Let's, as always, pause here at the beginning of the show, offer the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going into our first break. When we come back, Gene Houghton, Karen Rauenhorst are going to be here to talk about Aim Higher. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, and we are talking about, well, education generally, and particularly Aim Higher. Joining me now in studio are Gene Houghton, who is the current president of the Aim Higher Foundation, also served with St. Agnes School and also the McDonald's Corporation. She's been married to her husband, Tom, for 32 years. They have three children, all products of a Catholic education. Also joining us, Karen Rauenhorst, who is the founding board chair of Aim Higher, and just recently, as of September here, board member of the National Catholic Education Association, as well as there's a list of, I don't know, like 4,000 other boards that you've been on here too, Karen. Welcome, Gene and Karen, to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. So let's talk Aim Higher. Now, as a founding board chair there, Karen, I think maybe you should kick us off with, what is Aim Higher? How did it start? How did it get started?
Aim Higher Foundation was started in the fall of 2011 as a result of some strategic planning for the Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. One of the biggest concerns of why parents were not sending their children to Catholic elementary schools was financial reasons. There are a lot of reasons, but the number one reason kept saying, we don't have enough resources. So, as a result of working with the leadership at the Archdiocese and many strong supporters of Catholic schools in this diocese, Aim Higher Foundation was started as a scholarship-based foundation supporting children and their families to go to Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. So we incorporated in the fall of 2011, and our goal is to raise money to give to children to attend Catholic schools in the St. Paul, Minneapolis Archdiocese.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's a good summary statement, and I assume that's what we're still about. Is that right, Jean?
That is exactly what we're still about. As a matter of fact, since Aim Higher Foundation's inception, we have been able to award almost 7,000 scholarships to children in the grade schools across the Archdiocese. And the really exciting piece about that is that the scholarship numbers are growing every year. As a matter of fact, this year we gave out over 1,300 scholarships. The year prior to that it was 1,100, and the year before that it was 900. So thanks to the support of many individuals, we've been able to help even more kids. We've seen almost 20% of the kids that we're helping be children that are new to Catholic schools.
Wow.
So we're really helping get more kids in the door.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of just a question for the two of you. Obviously, financial burdens, that obstacles may be one of the biggest still contributing factors of people deciding to send their kids to a Catholic school. And there's things that need to be done. I mean, obviously, I don't think the schools are out to bilk parents out of the, all the money that they can. But just I'm pitching you a softball one here, but why is it worth it? Why is it worth it to spend the money to send your kids to a Catholic school or to receive a scholarship from Aim Higher to do so?
Well, I think as we are all are products of Catholic education pretty much in this room, we see the value of what the long-term ramifications of character formation, faith formation, how do you really become a good person, a moral person in our society today? And I think our Catholic schools in particular address these issues about respect, understanding, love, and the need for faith in your life. And, you know, about 15% of our kids in our Catholic schools are not Catholic, mm-hmm. but they choose to come because of the value education that we offer them. And I think when we stop and think about that, that is really an important thought. And are the families that send their children there want a strong commitment to their faith life? And that is a critical piece and an important piece that our Catholic schools offer that other schools and programs do not offer.
Yeah.
And I think another, just to tag on to that, I think another critical piece is that this is our future. The children that are in our Catholic schools right now, these are our future leaders. These are our future parents, our future businessmen, businesswomen, and they're frankly the future of the church too. Mm. So
and there are,
it's an investment.
Our future priests and religious come out of our Catholic schools primarily.
Exactly.
So.
Wow. Okay. Very good. And so I'm just wondering, you must have interacted since 2011 when Aim Higher Foundation was founded. You must have interacted with some and seen some products. I'm wondering if you can share any stories about either favorite stories about somebody who's applied and received a scholarship or maybe even since graduated and some good things that have happened there as a result of some of the somebody that Aim Higher Foundation has helped. Any stories coming to mind?
One of them, at our annual gala every year, we like to highlight a student. And so the first couple years, we highlighted graduates. And I'll never forget of a young woman who was up at St. Ben's. She was a student at Benilde St. Margaret's. Her father was in transition. He lost his job. Her mother wasn't able to provide the tuition. And through tuition assistance, some through the church, she was in a grade school before she went to Benilde, so they were a scholar of Aim Higher, to get them propelled into the Catholic school and to hear her story and to hear her commitment to the Catholic school was incredible. She has since graduated and has really moved on. I think everybody in that auditorium wanted to hire her as soon as she graduated from St. Kate's because she was so well-spoken and so passionate about she was working in it. It was going to be an engineer. We've also had a young boy who was over at Fasati and talked about his story and what that meant for him and his mother that he got a scholarship to go to Fasati, to go to one of our Catholic, to go to our Catholic school. It changed their lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we see this year alone, we saw 6,000 applications for financial aid.
Wow.
And they're heartbreaking. Some of the stories are heartbreaking and they're difficult to read. Sometimes I have to step away and take a break and say, I don't know how these families are making it. And you look at the sacrifices that they give to make sure that their child receives this. We had a family whose husband and wife, and the wife was dying of cancer and made her husband promise to whatever you can do, keep her in a Catholic school, no matter what. And the mother passed away, and the husband drove a taxi cab during the day, worked at a bakery in the evening, and then gave plasma twice a week to make an extra $80 so that he could help make sure that his daughter went to a Catholic school. And it was probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever done was to be able to let this family know, not only is Aim Higher Foundation giving you a scholarship, but the beautiful thing about the Aim Higher Foundation scholarship is that it's not a one-time gift. The money actually follows the student all the way through eighth grade.
Wow.
So we are saying we are investing in your future. And I got a postcard from this little girl when she moved on from eighth grade into a, God bless her, a Catholic high school.
Right.
But she sent a postcard and said, thank you very much, Mrs. Houghton, for everything that you did to help me receive this. And I kept it because for me, that was the future of, again, our church and our country and everything else. So a lot of stories, some of them heartbreaking, and our goal is to just continue to try to help as many of those 6,000 kids as we can.
Yeah, with 6,000 applications, and I believe I heard you say that 1,300 were awarded this year. I presume that the difference there, the 4,700 students who went without scholarships, it's mainly just due to you've only got the resources that you've got.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, many of these schools and parishes do help other kids that we can't help. We help those most in financial need. And I think the other thing, in the last couple of years, we've worked with the Catholic Services Appeal Foundation. They are sending us some of their dollars that we are distributing to some of our Catholic schools. We also have been working on other working with other families. Jean can talk about a new scholarship fund that we have to support kids in St. Paul. So as we continue to grow, we're looking for other resources. And then we annually raise between $800 and $1 million yearly just to meet our obligations of these kids.
Yeah. Because like you said, because the money follows the child all the way through, it's not just a one and done type of thing that every year those expenses. Is it the same amount every year, just out of curiosity?
It's a $1,000 scholarship that follows them all the way through eighth grade.
Got
so really, if they're starting in kindergarten, we're making a $9,000 investment in the child to say, you know, we want to make sure you get all the way through eighth grade. And to Karen's point, we work with a lot of outside foundations, corporations, individual donors to try to help as many of those students as we can. We've also implemented this year the John Nassif Scholarship Fund, which helps students in the St. Paul Catholic School specifically in order to keep his legacy alive. Catholic Services Appeal, again, is very generous and lets us help additional schools. But the primary fundraising that we receive is actually from people like your listeners and people that attend our gala and have said, you know what, we want to invest in a Catholic school too. And our upcoming gala, where we're honoring Karen, will also be an opportunity to raise some funds there.
That's right. Karen, I neglected to mention, I even started to, so I wouldn't forget, but then I forgot, that she is the first honoree of the Aim Higher Foundation's annual Night of Light celebration coming up on the 28th, so a week from today. Yeah, wow. Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
It's
hard to be, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm trying to help.
We really had to talk her into it.
We're trying to raise money for
her. She deserves
it,
yes.
Right. Definitely for a good cause. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned helping out those who are most in need. So most of this is a need assessment. Is that how you make your decisions about scholarships as well?
Yes, every family that applies for financial aid completes a financial aid application, and they can indicate on that application that they're interested in an AIM Higher scholarship. And then we have the opportunity to evaluate the need. We use an outside company to do that, so it's very objective. And then the family's need is calculated, and we see where their income is and what their need is, what they can pay versus what the actual tuition is, and then help them bridge that gap. And so between the AIM Higher Foundation scholarship, some help from the schools and other sources, many of those families are able to continue on with that Catholic school. But it is a need-based scholarship.
Mm-hmm. And we're able to serve every one of our Catholic elementary schools in this archdiocese for AIM Higher. They have scholars in their buildings. So we do really cross the whole archdiocese.
And the beautiful thing about that is you can go into any Catholic school, or at least I do, when I walk into any Catholic school and I look at these beautiful kids and I think, I wonder which one is the AIM Higher scholar.
Yeah, right.
But no, it's a privilege to be able to do this for the schools.
Right, absolutely. So as people are getting interested, as they're hearing more about AIM Higher and that sort of thing, of course they're going to want to know how to get in touch with you. So what are some ways that we can get in touch with the AIM Higher Foundation?
I think the easiest way would just be to go directly to our website, which is aimhigherfoundation.org, aimhigherfoundation.org. Call us, 612-819-6711. And we also have a great presence on social media, Facebook, Instagram. Just look for AIM Higher Foundation.
Wow, very good. And that's true for both people who might want to become donors and people who are looking for scholarships as
well? Exactly.
Okay.
And another, we work very closely with the Catholic Community Foundation. As you well know, they are a big supporter of education in this community. And many of our donors come through their donor advice funds. And they have been a strong supporter and collaborator as we are trying to address the needs of our Catholic schools.
Exactly. It's really a partnership between a lot of us trying to hold hands and say, what can we do to help?
Right. And I think a lot of people sometimes can be under the misconception that, you know, foundations such as the M. Hire Foundation, that they make a lot of their money off of corporate accounts or individuals who are giving large, large sums. But really, what I've found is that the bread and butter is really people who can give maybe just a small percentage, but they're able to give a little bit and give it regularly. Is that true for AIM-HIRE?
That is absolutely true. The majority of our funding comes from individuals who say, you know what, I support this and I can help. And there's no gift that is too small.
Yeah.
Anything that we can do, and like Karen said, we utilize Catholic Community Foundation as well for donor-advised funds. But even a $10 gift is something that's going to go a long way to help a child be able to attend a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure things like regular withdrawals and that sort of thing, electronic funds transfer, all that's available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. So just in closing here, if you had a couple of words of advice, I'll ask this from each of you, a couple of words of advice about a parent who might be considering sending their child to a Catholic school. What would you say? How would you advise that parent in the midst of, you know, making these decisions? There's a lot of factors that come into play. How would you advise them?
I think the value of the education, but also the value of the community that you will become a part. It's not just a child going to a school. You get to know the parents. You get to know the community. They really embrace you, and they can help raise the children as a family. And I think that's the value, not only the education, but the community that you will become a part of.
Very good. Thank you, Karen. Jean, how about you?
I would piggyback on exactly what Karen said. I think a lot of it is the community and the children that your children will be spending time with and the families that will become your friends as you go through that entire educational timeline with them. I will also say from an education standpoint, as well as from what type of person the child's going to be, and I saw this with all three of my kids, the return on investment is priceless for what you are putting into the Catholic school and looking at the type of leader that they will graduate and be able to become. We've seen them just be better people.
Amen to that. Thanks be to God for that. And thanks be to God for your work with the AIM-HIRE Foundation. Jean Houghton, Karen Roundhorse, thank you for being with us here on the Rediscover Hour. And God bless you on the upcoming gala.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to continue talking about education as Father Paul Peter Romabim steps up to the microphone here to talk about Northern Uganda here. But as we are considering that, as we are thinking about Catholic education, just a thought there too. You know, we started off by talking about St. Matthew as a teacher. And you know, we probably all know somebody who's been through Catholic school and has since left the church. But I am still convinced that if you lay a solid foundation of faith and in the Catholic life, with somebody, that they will always have recourse to returning to that. I don't know how many times I have heard the story from somebody who has had a child or a grandchild leave the Catholic Church, that then they will come back and they will say, yeah, but then suddenly when I hit whatever age, you know, I got married or I had my first child or I lost my job, something happens. And they said, and then I turned back to my Catholic faith. And that happens not just here in the U.S., but also around the world. So again, Father Paul Peter Romabim from Northern Uganda, he is the current administrator of the Archbishop Flynn Secondary School. And as administrator, Father, I see that you develop, you oversee the developmental activities of the school and, more importantly, to ensure sustainability of the school through cultivation of food for the students. You work in close collaboration with the head teacher there, and this school is located in Pade in northern Uganda. But yep. Welcome, Father. It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good to have you here. Yeah. All right, so let's start. Just give us a mental image of what life is like in northern Uganda.
Yeah, first of all, I have to tell you that Uganda is found in Africa.
Right.
In the eastern part of Africa.
I should have mentioned that, yes.
Right at the equator. And, you know, 12...
So lots of snow.
No snow at all. Because
right
at the equator,
equator.
It is warm and is 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. Equal.
Oh, Yeah, you know? I suppose.
So
right.
You can imagine it's a beautiful place to be in. It's evergreen. And another blessing of Uganda is that is the source of the Nile.
Oh, yeah.
The second longest river in the world, actually, is the Nile. Now, if you come to Uganda and you reach the capital, which is Kampala, and through to Entebbe, you immediately think Uganda is a very vibrant country with a lot of activities, a lot of business going on. But as you begin to leave the city, you realize that there's a great difference between what is in the city for a few and what lies outside the city for the majority of the Ugandans.
Mm-hmm.
And as you move further and further to the northern part of Uganda, where I come from, and across the Nile, you almost realize that you are in two countries with the same name. Because the southern part of the country, highly developed, good buildings, good infrastructures, good roads, good schools, good health facilities. But as you cross to the north, you realize there are poor roads, dusty road, muddy road, poor infrastructure, poor schools, poor facilities, as you may elaborate and name them as they are. Simply because for 22 years, the northern part of the country experienced brutal war of the Lord's Resistance Army led by Joseph Kony. From 1986 up to 2008, there was a brutal war that reduced the people to abject poverty. So the people of northern Uganda right now live in a period of recovery from war. And many schools are there, but not many people can afford to send their kids to school. Even if they afford, they cannot afford to send them for the whole year. So somehow you end up in the middle of the school year and you have to get home because you can't pay the school fees anymore. Most parents can't afford it. And eventually Hope for Uganda is helping us in rebuilding our country,
okay,
in raising hope to the hopeless, actually to the very vulnerable people of northern Uganda. By sponsoring kids in school, they have helped build the school, Archbishop Flynn Secondary School, which is in honor of the Archbishop Emeritus of this diocese.
Our very own, yeah.
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 And the school has right now 506 students. All co-sponsored somehow because they can't meet all the cost of their education. But these are brilliant, intelligent, and very committed Catholic students who long for a bright future, and someone has to provide this future for them. And Hope for Uganda is doing this with the specific attention also to educating the girls. Because culturally in Uganda, this is another aspect, a cultural aspect that may not be comprehended by anybody in the United States, that to be a girl in Uganda is already half way of missing your education. Because
boys
if
get
you
educated,
have the boys,
girls,
yeah, the boys take not. The boys take the priority because the family would say, well, I educate the boy because he remains in the house and the girl is married. And he goes away, she goes away. So somehow, Hope for Uganda wants to provide equal opportunity, both for boys and girls. And that is what we are doing at Archbishop Flynn. Even in our admission, we want to make sure the number of boys and number of girls are balanced so that we give them equal opportunities to compete, to work for a future, to build their future, and to rebuild our country.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, speaking personally for just a moment, you're from northern Uganda, yeah?
Yes.
And so you're speaking not just, you know, off just about what you hear. You're not thinking, speaking generally. You're speaking personally about having experienced some of the ravages of war. In fact, you've even published a book about it. Is that right?
Yes. I have published a book called The Spill of Blood and the Lamentations of Lamalo, caught in the middle of the LRA war in northern Uganda.
Yeah.
Actually, this book was a product of what I lived.
Really?
Because the greater majority of my life was lived in this period of war.
Mm.
And actually, without the help of people whom I did not know from this Archdiocese of Minnesota, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have become a priest. My story is a very painful one because when I joined the seminary, my parents could afford only for a year to pay my school fees. After that, I was to be dismissed. I was to go home because I couldn't afford the seminary. But Monsignor Matthew Dong, who had got contact with the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis way back in the 1990s, got for me some people who sponsored me. I'd never known them. I've never met them. But I met them 3 years ago.
You did?
I did. When I came, they sponsored me for all my seminary formation.
Wow.
Until I was ordained a priest. I had not seen them. And for some years after my ordination, I had not seen them. It was 3 years ago when I came here and I met them face to face. It was a great joy for me.
And for them too, I'm
and
sure.
And for them too.
Yeah.
Because they met someone to be like me. Mm. They offered whatever they had for someone they did not know and someone they never thought they would meet.
Mm.
And our meeting was a wonderful thing.
I can imagine.
They gave me hope. They opened for me an infinite future. Mm. I was educated later on by the church in Rome because they gave me the first step. Mm. Then the rest of the other steps followed because someone had offered me the opportunity to have a future. And also to serve the church. Now, I don't only serve the church in Uganda. I serve the Universal Catholic Church.
Of course, right.
Yeah. And then I live this very painful time of the war that you're not sure of what is going to happen the next day. You're not sure of the food you're going to eat the next day. You're not sure. You're afraid of abduction. You're afraid of being recruited as a child soldier. All these risks were there. But in all this, we kept our hope that one time, things will change.
Mm. The book, again, in case people are interested in it, it's called The Spill of Blood and the Lamentations of Lamalo. And it's really about the being caught in the middle of the LRA war in northern Uganda. It was released in 2011, I see.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
I published it 2011 when I was studying in Rome.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Wonderful.
And if someone wants to get it, you can just go online. And the best way of ordering it is to order it from lulu.com.
Lulu.com,
and you easily order it. From Amazon is a little difficult, but from Lulu, you get it quick and fast.
Okay, wow.
Right on your desk.
Well, there's something good to round out our fall reading list for us. Okay,
exactly.
Excellent. So let's move on. Let's talk a little bit more about the Archbishop Flynn Secondary School. And you've been administrator there now for how long, Father?
I've been administrator at Archbishop Flynn only for a few months.
Okay.
I have been appointed in February this year.
But so far, so good?
So far, so good, yes. So far, so good. I am so happy to work with these young people.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, 506 right
506.
Now. And we are keeping the number down because we can't afford to raise the number up and give them the quality of Catholic education that we want to give them. So we have these 506 students with very committed teachers, and it's the commitment of Hope for Uganda to provide hope for this. Because the best way you can transform a community is through education. And that is what we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And education is not only... In Uganda, we have a big problem of forming the head and leaving the rest of the body. And we want to make education with a difference, that we form the holistic person. We form the mind and the body and the heart and the spirit and every commitment to the moral standard that is required of the Catholic Church.
Mm.
And this is what we do to these young girls and boys, to give them quality education for the transformation of the community in which they live.
Mm.
So that when they go, they have a difference in the society in which they live. They offer something new, the totality of the human person. I always say, in the spill of blood, I said, it's not good to have a man with a big head and a small heart.
Wow.
You need a man with a big head and with a big heart,
yeah,
proportionally.
Yeah.
So that the two is balanced. Having excess of any of the two is a danger to society.
I can see that. Right.
We have very committed teachers. But these kids who are in school need sponsorship.
Mm.
They need to be helped. their parents can't afford. And that is why we have also initiated with Hope for Uganda the sustainability project to produce the food that the school need locally. In the process of the production of this food, we educate the people on modern agricultural methods. In this way, we are shooting two birds with one stone. Yeah. We produce food for the school, but we also educate the parents to do some agriculture that will raise money so that they can afford paying for the school.
Wow.
In that way, it's a win-win situation in that we have the food, they have the income that they have generated through modern agriculture by us teaching them how to do it so that they can sustain the school can run on its own. Because I know sponsorship is not going to last forever. There must be a means to subsidize where the sponsorship that is given by generous people and to use wisely the donations that people give.
Sure.
So that, and we also, all this help goes also to the seminary where I studied, from where I was sponsored. And, someone outside there can say, okay, I can also sponsor one to become a priest like Father Paul. And, a big
there you
a
go.
Great joy.
That's your call. Make another Father Paul right here.
Exactly.
So, Father Paul, just out of curiosity, these 500 plus students who are coming to the school, are they in the immediate neighborhood of Pade, or are they come
well, they
mainly
come,
from the area?
They come from the neighboring districts also, because the Archdiocese of Gulu, where I come from, has of 8 districts. So the students come from all these 8 districts. The place that has been greatly ravaged by war. And we want to pay attention to these most needy, because the rest take away their children to the capital city because they can afford it. And there they get quality education, they get everything they need. And the problem with our country is, or the system in our country is, every student has to sit for a national exam. Now, the people of northern Uganda, kids from northern Uganda, for whom electricity is luxury, compete with the students from the central Uganda, from the capital, who have electricity, who have running water, who have the books, who have the library, who have all the facilities, internet connection, etc. So there is unfair competition here. And we want to bridge the gap. We want to say, okay, we can also do it from home here by providing the facilities that are necessary. So they come generally. We pay attention generally to those who cannot afford to get the education they need elsewhere. And yet, they're as good as those who go to get education elsewhere in other parts of the country.
Now, I assume that at least part of your visiting us here in Minnesota during this time is related to your duties as the administrator of the Archbishop.
You are absolutely right.
So tell us, what's on your agenda while you're here in
country? Well, I am here to touch grounds with Hope for Uganda. Hope for Uganda has sponsored my coming here, and Monsignor Matthew is also coming. He has been here, coming here since the 1990s. He's known in the Twin Cities as the ice cream priest. He's singing songs about ice cream, etc. So I'm here, first of all, to say thank you to all those donors, all those who have been helping Hope for Uganda meet the mission, to say thank you. But I'm also here to give accountability of what we have done and what is left to be done, what we have to do next, so that we still need support, badly need support at this time to finish up the structures, for example, that we have at the school. Right now, we don't have a library yet. We need to build a library so that the students can sit comfortably in a space where they can read, where they can access information, where they can share, they can do discussion. So we need a space like that in the school. So there are still a lot of needs. There are still kids we cannot sponsor because we don't have the resources. But someone could say, I sponsor one more. The capacity of the school right now is the school can accommodate even up to 1,000 students.
Oh.
Yeah. But we can't because they need to be supported so that we can add one more, but someone can help us add one more and educate one other child with the the help that is necessary. So I'm also here to appeal, now right. to ask for more help so that we reach the level that we want of competition with the rest of the country, but also to provide the education that we want. This school has been ranked consistently among the best school in the country.
Wow.
The best school in the country. And at one point, we were the best in holistic education because the rating of the intellectual part of it only is not fair because it's good to
resources
pass
resources.
Yes, it's good to pass exam, but it's another thing to pass exam and be a human being.
Yeah.
Those are two things that must go hand in hand. So Hope for Uganda that is here in the Twin City has been helping us during the war and after the war.
Mm.
They are helping rebuild. They are helping give hope to the most hopeless. And I'm here with them, and I'll be visiting parishes to make appeals, to ask fellow Catholics and those who can donate to help build the school, help the people in northern Uganda, help educate someone to become a priest like me, and help in that way the universal work of the church continues.
Yes, Father Paul Peter Ramabim, three things before you go. First of all, how can people find out more about Hope for Uganda?
Actually, if the best and the easiest way to find about Hope for Uganda is to go direct to the website.
Okay.
www.hopeforuganda.org.
Oh, that's easy enough.
Very easy.
HopeForUganda.org.
Yeah. HopeForUganda.org. Okay. And all the other contacts are there, the phone numbers, the Facebook account, and so it's the donation page. Everything is there.
Yeah.
So that is the easiest way of getting in touch with Hope for Uganda.
Okay. Secondly, thank you for your yes to the Lord's call and the work that you're currently doing. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, and may God bless you in that. And
thirdly, finally,
would you be willing to offer an on-air blessing to all of our listeners, please?
I have been given the power to bless free of charge, and I will bless free of charge.
All right.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
We thank you, God, for this time you have given us. And now I impart this blessing on all the listeners. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, Gretchen Birkebeil is with us. She had a rather unique wedding, and we're going to talk to her about it. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Who is it?
Drew Mariani.
I look at everything.
I love listening to Drew Mariani.
From politics to the faith.
The issues of the day.
How do we keep our kids Catholic?
Healthcare reform.
North Korea.
How do we make it relevant to people who right now are so disconnected from the faith and from God?
U.S. immigration policy.
We need to become the saints that God created us to be. That's what we do here every day.
Thank you so much for your show.
It just enhances your faith.
I just love it.
Tell others. Follow us on Facebook. Hit the like button on the show page. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani. Show, and you'll be able to get a lot of the articles, a lot of the discussion we talk about on the show.
It's always fun. I mean, I enjoy what I do here because every day it's something different. And I hope you will tell others about the show, and I hope you will have them listen on the station you're listening to or online at relevantradio.com or on our mobile app.
Keeping you connected.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Stay up to date.
Weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern, 2 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
It's a wayward sound comes home. It's in the desert of temptation. Lies the storm of two conversion. Where springs are living water.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the 1330 AM Relevant Radio studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio to talk about a rather unique wedding that recently occurred, and congratulations to you, Gretchen, is Gretchen Birkebeil, who she is the Director of Parish Life and Communications at Transfiguration Parish in Oakdale.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your husband, Justin, were married there on July 14th, during the 5 p.m. Mass.
Yes,
for
we were.
Sunday liturgy. Okay, all right. So let's back up here. So first of all, you're working in the church, so you're familiar with church, you're familiar with the faith, you've lived the faith for, I'm assuming, a number of years and that sort of thing. And then you meet this man, you fall in love, and he proposes, and all excited and everything, and then you have this idea. Did you have it, or did Justin have it? That's the first question.
Oh, I was definitely the one who had the idea. The poor guy just went along with it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the idea was to get married during a Sunday liturgy. Now, I've heard of baptisms taking place in Sunday masses. I've been to those. Confirmations, of course, are their own masses oftentimes, but we have had adult confirmations, I know, at the cathedral during a daily mass or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But a wedding. This was the first time I had ever heard of this. But is it unprecedented?
I think, yes, it is. It shouldn't be. It should be something that is a little bit more open and readily available for people. And I think that most pastors would be open to it, but it's just something that in our day and age, people want to get married at the normal 2 o'clock time at the church if they decide to get married in the church and want it to be just their close friends and family, which is certainly understandable. But with my position at Transfiguration, I was the sacramental coordinator for 6 years with Father Bill Baer. And so I got to know a lot of parishioners. And so when Justin and I were engaged, the thought was, how do I include all of these people that I love, all of these people that I worship with every week? And so that's when I approached Father Baer and asked him if I could have, the nuptials within a Sunday Mass.
Wow. Okay. All right. What was Father's response, just out of curiosity?
Father's response was, that's a very liberal thing for a conservative to do. Those were his exact words. He was kidding about that, but what did he say? He said, people have often seen nuptials in Mass, but not Sunday Mass with nuptials.
Mm-hmm.
And so as one of the sacraments, he thought it would be just a great witness to parishioners, along with to my family and friends who may or may not be practicing Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Did people who were coming to that liturgy know what they were in store for as they came?
I'm sure we had some people who did not, but now as communications director, I was able to try to promote it and communicate properly to people. It was in the bulletin, it was on Facebook, and I talked to all of my guests about what they would be encountering when they came to Mass. So, and then of course we talked to all the ushers, and all the ushers were on board and had their words, their wording to say to people as they were, of course, confused when they walked in. And there,
right. Wait a minute, I was here for Sunday Mass. This looks like a wedding.
People are in tuxes. This is strange. Yeah,
Transfiguration, a very formal parish.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Now, of course, before Father Baer could carry this out, he passed away. Mm-hmm. May rest in peace. And so your wedding was actually celebrated, or witnessed, I should say, by Father John Paul Erickson, your new pastor out there. How did he get on board with this? Was he just roped in because, well, Father Baer already, your predecessor already agreed to this, so it's happening?
He was, but he was also very excited about the possibility. And it was wedding week. And of course, I'm very busy with last minute details, along with, you know, getting the bulletin out for the church. And he came up to me and he said, I probably should have asked you first, but I contacted the Catholic Spirit, and Dave Herbacek will be getting in touch with you. It was like Wednesday, 3 days before my wedding. I was like, okay, I'll roll with it. So I talked to Dave Herbacek. He came out and we chatted for a couple hours, and it was actually a really great opportunity for me to to digest what had happened both at Transfiguration with the sudden passing of our beloved pastor and then planning a wedding and how all of that was coming together in this joyous occasion open to the entire parish after what had been a really hard start to the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's something to be said about that. Here's this, you've been part of the family of Transfiguration for a number of years, and you're public, you have a public upfront face and role in the parish. And then this tragedy strikes, and people are kind of reeling from that. But your wedding must have provided some sense of not just, maintaining the course, but a celebration, a joy of remembering that, this is an earthly journey, but we are led by the Lord, and we hope, against all hope, maybe in some ways, that we're going to be reunited together in His presence. Mm. Did you sense a spirit like that going on during your wedding?
Oh, it was wonderful. Yes, parishioners were so excited to have something to look forward to. Especially there are a lot of parishioners, and this was also, I think, Dave Herbacek interviewed one parishioner who said they hadn't been to a Catholic wedding in a very long time. And so weddings, of course, are always joyful, but having a wedding within, the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time was really special. And just they greeted us so warmly after Mass and loved the coverage and the Catholic spirit. So it was a great opportunity, and I'm really grateful for Father Bear and for Father Erickson, who allowed us to be married at that Mass.
Couple questions just out of curiosity. The liturgy nerd in me wants to know. So I assume it was the readings of the day.
Then. Correct.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But Father Erickson must have given a homily. I know he's a great homilist, but that kind of wove the two together.
Sure. It was actually Deacon Dan Brewer.
Oh, it was Deacon Dan Brewer.
So
okay.
I, as also a liturgy nerd, I was concerned with the unknown of, we don't know who our pastor's going to be, and our pastor will have just started. He won't know Justin or I at all.
Right.
So Deacon Dan Brewer, who picked up with all of the marriage prep when Father Bear passed away, Deacon Dan Brewer met with us, got to know us, and so he gave just a fantastic homily.
Great.
Weaving the wedding, the nuptials, and Sunday Mass together.
Right. Wow. Well, at least I can say the people who showed up for Sunday Mass, and I mean, they're going to be talking about this for years to come.
I hope so.
That's so wonderful. Now, final kind of curiosity question now. Are you and Justin going to be celebrating your anniversary as July 14th, or what was it, the 15th Sunday in Ordinary
Time? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody was very confused about that. Is it on the 14th, or is it the 15th Sunday?
Yeah, right.
Is it on Saturday? So certainly the 14th, but I'm one who celebrates many days before and after. So
I'll probably
celebrate every day.
It's another excuse to have a celebration.
That's right.
Well, congratulations to you, Gretchen, and you and Justin together. I'm grateful that you made this. Do you think it's going to be precedent setting now? Do you think others will follow in your path?
I actually already got a phone call from someone who came to my wedding and then got engaged and will be married at Divine Mercy in Faribault during their 4 o'clock Saturday evening Mass.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I think is beautiful.
It's a trend. Yes. You're a trendsetter, Gretchen.
That's what I aim to be.
And much more, too. Well, thank you for the work that you do in the church. And again, congratulations to you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on the program. All right. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, we've got all sorts of things. It may not be a wedding during Mass, but all sorts of things that you have and can take part in to strengthen your faith. Rediscover.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
By my side, to be everything I'm not. Angel side, I breathe deep the breath of God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. That's what I'm looking for. That's the
word I'm looking for. It's hard to find that word sometimes.
Rediscover, anyway. Paul, you didn't happen to get married at a Sunday Mass, did you?
No.
Yeah.
No, but it was during Catholic Schools Week, and so in my wedding pictures, there are Catholic school banners, Catholic School Week. The theme that year was Everyone Grows. And so behind Mary, my late wife, and me standing in the church, there's a banner that says, Catholic schools, everyone grows.
We could spend the rest of the hour just talking about what that means. Yes. But I suppose we should get on to the events calendar.
Well, we've got a few things going on. Be transformed and transform the world. The Office of Evangelization announces the Missionary Discipleship Series coming this fall. Series includes 3 4-week sessions in the fall, winter, and spring, each week with a live speaker, time for prayer, discussion, and Q&A. Speakers include Dr. Michael Naughton, Father Nick Hagen, and Molly Shore. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. There's a series starting this October at St. Hubert Chanhassen, and a series for young adults at the Church of St. Peter in Mendota.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally on Tuesday, September 25th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Peter's in Forest Lake. The evening includes Eucharistic Adoration, Confessions, dinner, and a presentation by Bishop Andrew Cousins, who will speak on spiritual fatherhood, every man's duty. A free will offering of $10 is suggested but not required. Please register online by visiting the event page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Enzo Rondazzo at rondazzov@archspm.org.
Thursday, September 27th, Mary's Meals invites you to join them at St. Joseph of the Lakes Catholic Church, Lino Lakes, 6 p.m. for a social with dinner starting at 6:30 p.m. Hosted by the Knights of Columbus and Ladies Auxiliary Council, Mary's Meals is an international organization that provides one meal per day in a child's place of education for over 1.2 million children in over 15 countries around the world. Keynote speaker is CEO and founder of Mary's Meals, Magnus McFarlane Barrow, followed by a book signing to follow his talk. Cost $15 per adult, $10 for children 4 to 12, 3 and under, free. For reservations, call Deborah and Wayne Waldera, DebWayne0712@gmail.com, or call 651-772-6935.
The Aim Higher Foundation, here it is, folks, invites you to the 6th Annual Night of Lights Celebration, Friday, September 28th at the J.W. Merritt Mall of America. This exciting evening will shine a light on our Catholic schools and the children they serve. Archbishop Bernard Hebda and Bishop Andrew Cousins will be honored guests, and Carolyn Wu, founder and CEO of Catholic Relief Services, will help present the inaugural Night of Light Award to Aim Higher Founding Board Chair Karen Rauenhurst, who we just had on the program. Register today and support scholarship funds for students in need at our Catholic elementary schools. Visit aimhigherfoundation.org. That's aimhigherfoundation.org.
Members of law enforcement and first responders, along with their families and the public, are invited to a special Blue Mass with Archbishop Bernard Hebda Saturday, September 29th, 5:15 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
All right. And next time, guess what? We have St. Matthew today. We got St. Michael next time. So we'll celebrate Michaelmas. St. Michael ranks among the 7 archangels. One of the 3 angels mentioned in the scriptures. We'll also talk about consecrated virginity with Susan Spiegelberg, who was consecrated this past June at the cathedral, and she serves as the director of faith formation in early childhood at All Saints Catholic Church. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.